that you would also continue the salvation work there. Yes, Lord, we remind you of Freiburg for the brothers who are there now, that they would also be able to share your word. Let Marcos be a witness before his entire family. Amen. Glorify yourself when these strengthen these brothers, your servants.
Lord, we pray that they would know you and the power of your resurrection. Which region? We pray that you would open this region for yourself. Gather your remnant there. In Scandinavia, in all of Scandinavia, and all of Europe, and Africa, North America, Asia, Korea, Lord. Lord, on the entire earth. We have to pray much. The more the Lord shows us, the more we have to pray. The more we see what the Lord wants, the more we have to give ourselves for prayer, consecrate ourselves for prayer. Otherwise, nothing will happen. If we just see things and go home without our prayer and our cooperation, it won't work. The Lord needs such servants as he himself. God couldn't do anything himself. He had to come himself as a servant. If he hadn't come, it would not have worked. But today, he's sitting on the throne. And who's here? Manu? Who are we? Oh, it is us. Is nobody here? We don't want the Lord to say, I called and no one answered. That would not be a good situation. We have to say, Lord, we are here. Here am I, as Isaiah said, send me. Here we are, send us. Oh Lord, but the Lord cannot force us. It depends on our heart. The Lord voluntarily came, even though he knew that it would not be simple. It would be difficult, and he would be crucified. And in the end, he knew that he would have to take this cup of sufferings, drink it. But in spite of that, he still came. What is your attitude? Amen? Praise the Lord. Great. Surely our heart is willing. We thank the Lord. His word will not return to him void. The Lord will accomplish it. There will be people who are ready to do it. And if it's not us, then the Lord will also wake up others or raise up others to do it. Praise the Lord. Hopefully, we all can partake of this wonderful work of the Lord, especially at the end of this age. So that this age will quickly come to an end. So, as Isaiah shows us here, and also as Hebrews wrote, there's just a little while, then he will come. Then the one who should come will come. just a little while. That's worth it. Oh, Lord Jesus. Are you tired? I always think the conference times are too long. Maybe we should shorten it. Otherwise, in the end, we don't have any more strength to concentrate, and nothing else will come in. The spirit is willing. But the flesh on our body is weak. What can we do? But praise the Lord. As you have done it, you've made short weekend conferences. That's very good. It's wonderful. The presentations that you have done together with the Lord and through the Lord. It's good. Praise the Lord. And the Lord also confirmed it. In everything that we do, we have to receive the confirmation from the Lord. This is important. Amen. Today we come to chapter 56. The temple of God in the new covenant age, but not just of the old covenant age, but the new covenant age, the house of prayer for all nations. This is Roman numeral 6. Remember what the Lord said. He told the Jews in those days. He was so upset inwardly because he was burning and zealous for God's house. It's written there, the zeal for his house has devoured me. I hope that this is the case with us as well today. With many, I don't know what is in their heart. They say we are the church, but they do things that don't please the Lord, and they transform his house into something else that I don't know. What kind of a house? Like a community, an organization, a house of merchandise, a coffee house, social gatherings. So many things. They made the house of God into so many things. But the Lord quoted here, and again he quoted Isaiah again, this dear beloved brother Isaiah. It's really excellent. It's so wonderful. We learn to treasure all these brothers and what they wrote and what they spoke. They were so faithful to the Word of God and to speak it. And I hope that we also will be so faithful and not speak nonsensical things, but to speak the Word of God. If we speak the Word of God, it will remain forever in eternity, and it won't just pass away. The Lord said, you have made my father's house into a house of merchandise, or a den of thieves. A house of merchandise is one thing, but a den of thieves is even worse. Oh, Lord. There are many houses of merchandise that are dens of thieves. Every time you enter into a store, remember, they want to rob you. And even you're such wonderful clients, and you voluntarily take the things out of your purse and give them your money. Without them having to ask you, you even give it freely. That's an ingenious so ingenious. Be careful when you go to the mall or the store, the house of merchandise. That's why the Lord says here in chapter 56, he says, thus says the Lord, he's always speaking. He's always speaking. Listen to me. The Lord loves to speak. How can we say, and why do we say, that the Lord isn't speaking to me? He loves to speak to us. It's just that we don't have an ear to hear. If we would have an ear to hear, then we should hear. First, we should see what he has spoken here in his word. And we have to learn to hear it. When I come to the word, I want to hear, Lord, what is it that you want to speak to me? What are you saying? And if I don't pay attention to what he already said, then how can I hear what he's speaking to me now? Right? One ear has to hear what he's already said, and with the other ear, we have to hear what he's speaking to us now. But if I haven't learned to hear what he already spoke, do you think that his word doesn't apply to us today? He said, the whole world, the earth, the heavens and the earth, they will pass away, but his word will not. So if I don't pay attention, take heed of what he already spoke, then how can I hear what he's speaking to me today, what he wants to speak to me today? And he wrote these words 2,720 years ago, but it's still up to date today, and it applies to us. He's still speaking to us today. It would be a pity if we didn't know Isaiah, and if we say that it's old, it's just the Old Testament. That's what many people say. No. Isn't it so up to date? Current. Don't you love Isaiah? Yes. Don't say that it's old stuff. No. God's work will never be old. It's always living. And it'll be so effective when we come to this word. What does he say? Verse 1, keep justice and do righteousness. This pleases him. He is a righteous God. And because he's such a righteous God, he also demands us to be righteous as he is righteous. Satan is a thief, a murderer, and a liar. When people lie, and the enemy is clapping his hands, that's right. You're very similar to me. Great. I did a great job. And if you hate and you kill, then he'll even have greater joy. This is how it is. But our Father is holy and righteous. This is why the Lord who's sitting on the throne, what did he say? What did he say he loved? He loves righteousness. And what does he hate? Lawlessness. Yes, this is our Lord. Not only is he righteous and he loves righteousness, he also hates lawlessness. And this life that he's given us is a life full of righteousness, the righteousness of the Lord. And Isaiah said, when we continue to read, our righteousness is as filthy rags, defiled garments, filthy rags. That's why Paul does not want to be found in his own righteousness. And we think we are so righteous, and yet it's a filthy righteousness, a filthy garment. So what if you're right? Your being is not correct, is not righteous. Our thoughts are not righteous. Our motives, our purposes, they are not righteous. Then what is our righteousness? What is my righteousness if I'm such a person? But the being, the Lord's essence, is righteousness. He is our righteousness. That's why he said, if our righteousness is not the righteousness, does not exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees and the scribes, then we will not enter into the kingdom of heavens. So righteousness is very, very important. And we all have to remember this. This word must be written into our hearts. We say, praise the Lord, He's my life. Then I have to continue to ask, and what kind of a life is this? A holy life, a righteous life. A life which expresses our Father. We have received such a life, and for this reason, John wrote in chapter 17, the eternal, he's defined to us what eternal life is, which is to know Him and whom He has sent, Jesus Christ, which is His Son. To know His Son. The more we know Him, the more we will be like Him when we see Him. So life grows. Our life will grow by knowing Him more. And the more we know Him, that's why Paul wants to know Him, the richer life will be in us. Because this life is a person, it's not a thing. It's not just some invisible spirit. Well, what kind of a spirit? There are many spirits. Lying spirits. This spirit is the Lord Himself. And here, keep justice and do righteousness. Righteousness has to be expressed in our life. That means in everything that we do, everything we say, everything we think, our conduct, how we handle things, it has to be according to Him. It must be righteous. In the Bible, righteousness has to do with our deeds. So in Revelation 19, what does the wedding garment look like? How is it described? It's white and bright and shining. What kind of a fine linen it is, clean and bright. These are the righteous acts of the saints. Do we want to go to the wedding? Then today, we have to prepare the wedding garments. Where's the bridegroom today? Ah, he's sitting back there. Have you already decided what the wedding dress is? You didn't do it in the last minute, right? Don't wait till an hour before the wedding. That wouldn't be good. It wouldn't work out. Now we have to begin to prepare this garment, this wedding garment. This garment will not be prepared through sermons and good messages. What's the point of speaking good sermons or messages, and yet our clothes are full of holes by moths, moth-eaten garments? So you see how important the righteousness is. Our own righteousness is worth nothing. I don't trust my own judgments. No, I want the Lord's judgments. His thoughts, his perspective, his view. His thoughts are higher than ours, and his ways are also higher. I cannot look into your heart. Can you look into my heart? Here, I'll give you my glasses. Maybe it'll work. No one can look into the hearts. Only he can. That's why we have to learn to do and to experience his righteousness. Lord, I want to experience your righteousness and to practice it. And for this, we need a lot of salvation. Without salvation, it won't work. We have to be saved to the uttermost. The result of salvation is righteousness. Righteousness is expressed. Oh, Lord. For my salvation is about to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Salvation and righteousness go together. Verse 2, blessed is the man who does this, and the Son of Man who lays hold on it, and keeps his hand from doing any evil. Who should appear before him in Zion? What does the psalmist say? The one with blameless, holy hands. We all want to appear before him in Zion with dirty, filthy hands. That doesn't work. We have to appear before the holy God and the God of glory. And we all lack glory. Oh Lord, we want to pay attention and take heed when we speak about the building up of the church. We can't deal with it with filthy hands and build without righteousness. That's what the Lord himself said. This heavenly tabernacle, will it be built by man's hands? No. Why not? Because it is heavenly. Only with the Lord's hands, only the Lord will erect the true tabernacle. Amen. Lord Jesus. At the end of verse 2, and keeps his hand from doing any evil. Do we want to build up Zion now? We want to come into the house of the Lord. We need the blood of the Lord to enter into the Holy of Holies. Not only that, but our heart also must be sprinkled from an evil conscience. And our bodies must be washed. We don't read these verses, but we just say, enter with boldness and you just enter in like a football player. So praise the Lord. We must take heed. Then, verse 3, do not let the son of the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord. So now he even added additionally that the son of the foreigner should not say, the Lord has utterly separated me from his people. No, the Lord doesn't separate people easily or exclude people so lightly. The son of the foreigner, he will not lock him out or keep him out. But saying, the Lord has utterly separated me from his people, nor let the eunuch say, here I am, a dry tree. You know, we can only treasure this if we knew. We can only treasure this if we know the law and the old covenant. No son of a foreigner can enter in, and the eunuchs cannot enter. That is a taboo. It's a no-no. They are not excluded in his people. They're not included, sorry. But now, in the time of the new covenant, through this wonderful salvation that the Lord accomplished, now these who previously had been excluded, the Lord determined this and wrote it specifically that these two who were not allowed to come, now they're allowed to come. The son of the foreigner, the eunuch. Praise the Lord. Now they will be received by the Lord. For thus says the Lord to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths and choose what pleases me and hold fast my covenant. Look, these are prerequisites. Even to them I will give in my house and within my walls a place and a name better, that's even better than that of sons and daughters. Wow. I lack the utterance to speak about it. I also don't need to speak about it. It's so clear. Who are we? Who are we to say who can belong to the church or not? Is it according to the laws of the elders? Who sets the laws? The Pope? Who makes the laws? This is the house of the Lord. The Lord says, my house. Yes. Oh, Lord Jesus. Even to them I will give in my house and within my walls a place and a name better than that of elders and deacons and deaconesses. That's why, dear saints, we have to be such servants who align themselves or focus are set upon him. Of course, no matter who we are in the church, if it's a great sin, as Paul mentioned in Corinthians, in the epistle to the Corinthians, then you have to deal with it. But praise the Lord. They keep my Sabbaths and choose what pleases me and hold fast my covenant. You cannot exclude these ones. If you exclude such people, then you have to be excluded. Those who exclude such, they should be excluded. This is what the Lord said. And then you think that they would not keep the Sabbath, or you're suspicious that they're not keeping the Sabbath. Otherwise, you'll send them out. Or you think that they're doing what the Lord pleases the Lord. That means you're not doing what pleases the Lord. But if you kick out someone who holds fast to the Lord's covenant, that means the person who's kicking him out is not keeping the covenant. Okay, so you might throw these ones out, but the Lord will throw you out. Or do you not fear the Lord? This is His house. I would rather be thrown out by men, but remain with the Lord. In those days, in Judaism, they threw out a lot because they threw out many people because they followed the Lord. Would you rather stay in the house of merchandise, or would you rather be thrown out? Because you followed the Lamb and you wanted to follow Him. Thomas? We have a believing Thomas. This is wonderful. That's so wonderful. Oh Lord, we praise You. And the son of the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord to serve Him and to love the name of the Lord and to be His servants, His sons, and all those who do not desecrate the Sabbath do not defile the Sabbath and hold fast my covenant, verse 7, even them I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. The house of the Lord is a house of prayer. It's not a house where you beg, but a house of prayer. Praise the Lord. It's not a house of complaining. And what do they do there? They bring their burnt offerings and their sacrifices. They will be accepted on my altar. What are we doing there in the prayer, the house of prayer? We're bringing the sacrifices, burnt offerings, peace offerings. Isn't that wonderful? Sin and trespass offerings, we bring them to His house. No trespass offerings. Trespass offerings do belong to the sacrifices. Yes, of course, because a trespass offering is only if we committed something that really did not please Him. Can you imagine if we all, at every Lord's table, only brought a trespass offering? And we all stand up, Lord, I sinned again. Thank You for Your blood. Then He stands up, Lord, I also did such terrible things in this week. Thank You for Your blood. And then I stand up, Lord, I stole again. Oh, Lord, I take Your blood. And then he stood up and said, Lord, I fought with my wife. I even threw a plate at her. Oh, Lord. Do you think that would be the glory in the Lord's table? Okay. I think you understand. That's why the trespass offering is not mentioned in this sense or content. But we do need it. Oh, Lord. For my house shall be house of prayer for all nations. Because the Lord has cleansed us and sanctified us. He has justified us. But that doesn't mean that we can do everything that we want to. No, we have to keep the Sabbath. What does it mean to keep the Sabbath? We can't talk about everything. It means that we enter into the reality of everything that the Lord has done for us. And we cease from our own works. Our own works do not please Him. Believe me. The Father will not just look upon what we're doing, but who is doing it. If I am the one who does it with dirty, filthy hands and with many different strange motives, do you think the Father would accept that? No, I have to enter into the work of the Lord. Paul says, not I, but Christ in me. Paul spoke, but he said, you want to have a proof who's speaking. It's not him, but Christ in me, he said. I have done more than all the others, but he said, not I, but his grace in me. Even the Lord himself said, the works that I do not do, but my Father is the one who is doing it in me. And if the Lord will say that, and if the apostles and the disciples of the Lord said that, that's why it is not strenuous for them. And that's why they do not steal the Lord's glory. And they do not glorify themselves and say, look what I have done. But if it's the work of your hands, then you'll have the attitude, don't you know me? In the end, we will offend the Lord. And do you think God would accept that? Lord, Lord, didn't we do these things, those things? The Lord said, who are you? I do not know you. The Lord will not know you. That's why it's good to keep the Sabbath. It's no wonder when the priests served, they shouldn't wear any wool so that they would not sweat. At the end of the service, they would be wiping off the sweat off their forehead and they're all wet. This is not what the Lord wants to see. We all have to do everything in Christ. We also have to learn to do this as the servants of the Lord in Christ. Learn to serve in Him. Oh, Lord, His house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. Amen. And this is important. A house of prayer. If you want to serve, then you must be one who prays. If you don't pray, you cannot serve. Who serves the Lord will also pray. And this prayer is not a begging prayer, but a wonderful fellowship with the Father. Our prayer should be upon the golden incense altar where we become an incense. The incense is a wonderful aroma that ascends to the Father. It's not always, it does not always have to do with us, but it's about God's purpose, together with Christ. And Jude tells us to pray in the Holy Spirit. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Paul said, yes, because the Spirit knows what God wants. 20. I pray about a lot of things that I think are important. But the Holy Spirit prays according to the Father's will, what pleases Him. That's why Paul said in Romans 8, oftentimes we don't know what we should pray, but the Holy Spirit will help us. You know, when our spirit is so one with the Lord, then the incense will rise up, ascend. Praise the Lord. That's why we have to pay attention. The anointing will come upon us, but the incense must ascend to Him. Just as the feasts are for us, and the offerings, they go up to the Father. It's such a cycle. The more we know the anointing and are anointed, the more our prayer will ascend to Him full of the Spirit. A house of prayer is not one where we come together and pray for a whole bunch of things. Of course, we can also pray for all things. But the main point is that the incense, the main point is the incense, especially as the servants of the Lord. That's why Paul says, just pray a few times, occasionally. Not occasionally, he says, unceasingly, without ceasing. Oh, Lord. And here he's speaking about His house. In the house of the Lord, we speak a lot with Him and talk about with Him what He wants to do and what's in His heart. We speak to Him. I can really imagine when the Lord lived on this earth that He was constantly and daily having fellowship with the Father, what the Father wanted. The Father's will. And even when we're praying for all the saints, we have to pray according to the Father's will. We pray according to our own will for this and that. Maybe the Father doesn't want to have this or that, but we want to force Him in our prayer. That also doesn't work. He will not be forced by our prayers. But it's very good if we know His heart. Oh, Lord. Verse 9 was a warning, because in His house there are always the same old problems. Who served in the temple? in those days, the high priests, the elders, the scribes, the Pharisees, right? All of these. And what did they transform his house into? Verse 9, all you beasts of the field, come to devour all you beasts in the forest. Then he said, his watchmen are blind. They're all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. Only God can say such a thing. We cannot. Only the Lord can say this. But Paul also cited this, quoted it. He said, pay attention, take heed of the dogs. Why was he so bold to write that? So courageous? Because he read Isaiah. Oh Lord. They cannot bark. You know, when thieves come, they don't bark. But when the good people come, they dark. That's not a good watchman. They're sleeping and dreaming, lying down, loving to slumber. Yes, they are greedy dogs, which never have enough. O Lord. And they are shepherds. The shepherds. Today, the shepherds should be the elders, right? He says, shepherd the flock of God. The shepherds. They are shepherds who cannot understand. They all look to their own way. Everyone for his own gain. From his own territory. Can you imagine if the watchmen who are in the house of the Lord are such kind of watchmen? Of course, the house of prayer will become a house of merchandise. Then you should put up a banner and say, department store in Stuttgart. The department store in Stuttgart. You will say, you're an evil man. No. I'm just reading Isaiah here. Everyone is for his own gain, for his own territory. Verse 12, come, one says. What do they want? They want to keep another kind of feast. I will bring wine. I want to bring wine, and we will fill ourselves with intoxicating drink. Tomorrow will be as today, and much more abundant. Let me tell you, it will not be better, but it will get worse. Do you not believe what the Lord has spoken here through Isaiah? I don't want to speak anymore. But you have to read it yourself. You have to read it yourself. The Word of God is very current. And suits every age, every situation, and it's warning us. I don't just want to read it for the others. I want to read it for myself. And we, if we want to be servants, then learn. Learn from your experience. Learn from others' experience. and especially learn from God's Word. Oh, Lord Jesus. May the Lord open our eyes. God's Word is not only positive to edify us and to grant us much supply, but God's Word is very balanced. It also gives us warnings. And all these experiences that we have gone through, we must be thankful for them. We should not be angry or react in our flesh or, and you're even dreaming at night about it. That's not good. Then you can't sleep well. No. You have to learn. Because the Lord hasn't come back yet. It's not the end. We still have to go on till the end. Otherwise, there will not be a reward. Right? So this is a warning. Sometimes the word of the Lord is so wonderful. Come, eat and drink freely. You don't have to pay anything. Yeah, that's nice. But there are also very serious warnings. And we would do well to take heed of these warnings. Praise the Lord. Amen.